Welcome to Soundprint. I'm Lisa Simeone. Competition, we're told, is a good thing, a necessary thing. It spurs people to work harder, to excel. Healthy competition is the term you most often hear, whether it's applied to sports, business, any kind of pursuit. This has always struck me as a little strange. I mean, I get it. I understand what people are trying to say, but I've never been able to shake the nagging feeling that there's a dark side to all this. That when people talk about competition, what they're really saying is, win at all costs. And that way, when you try to beat the other guy, you will. Because that's the point, right? You're competing for a reason, to prove you're better than everybody else, to get ahead. Well, in academe, this spirit of competition can take a particularly nasty turn to cheating, to plagiarism. Schools around the country are dealing with this phenomenon all the time. In today's program, producer Gene Snedegar visits faculty and students at Duke, the University of Virginia, and other colleges to discover the underside of higher learning. Oh, and the names of the students you'll be hearing from have been changed. The program is called Cut and Paste.
The bells toll 5 o'clock from the soaring Gothic steeple. This is the cathedral-like chapel at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina. The beautiful campus and its world-renowned academic departments draw the brightest and best students from all 50 states and 80 foreign countries. According to the latest U.S. News and World Report rankings, Duke is among the top 5 universities in the United States. 40% of the students go on to graduate or professional school. People like Michael.
I'm a senior at Duke University. I'm intelligent, good with people. I have great leadership skills. I have all the skills to be a politician, a lawyer, all those things.
Sitting across from Michael, a dark, handsome 23-year-old, it's easy to believe this man is destined for great things. In high school, he was a top honor student and scored more than 1,400 on his SATs. Typical for a Duke undergraduate, says Dean Stephen Bryan.
They're very bright students. The overachievers who've always done extremely well in high school, they come to Duke and suddenly they're mediocre. They're in a sea of excellence. And it's tough for some students. Many students apply self-pressure, or there is a perceived pressure from their parents to do well. And so with students so driven, that makes them make shortcuts that they normally wouldn't do because of the pressure to succeed.
In the spring of his freshman year, with a number of papers looming, Michael turned to the internet.
I committed a series of internet plagiarisms. Originally, I thought that there was some reason for it. I tried to say that I didn't have enough time to do the work, or I had too much other work, or I was lazy, I waited till the last minute.
In serious cases of academic dishonesty, such as Michael's, students must appear before Duke's Undergraduate Judicial Board, made up of both faculty and students.
Good morning. This is a hearing of the Undergraduate Judicial Board. Today's hearing will be recorded, so please remember to speak up for the recording. Also, please remember that the information discussed and the names of the individuals present throughout the hearing must be kept confidential.
At his hearing, Michael was given the opportunity to make an opening statement and explain why he had plagiarized several papers.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'd first like to start off by apologizing that we even have to be here today. First, my professor. I'm sorry. The events surrounding my decision were difficult, and I was not in the right frame of mind when I made the decisions that I did last semester, and I'm sorry for disrespecting you, this institution, and everybody in this room. I'd first like to start off by saying that everything I did was completely out of character for me. I've always been a good person.
I was found guilty at Duke, and it's amazing to me, in retrospect, looking back, how blatantly obvious it is when I read those papers that they're not my own.
The judicial board suspended Michael for 3 semesters, a severe penalty at Duke. His story, though, is but one small example of a growing crisis in education in the 21st century. That is, academic dishonesty. And most commonly, plagiarism. trying to pass off someone else's words or ideas as your own. 5 years ago, Duke was part of a survey that asked college students across the nation what they felt about cheating. Judith Ruderman, Vice Provost for Academic Services, says what the Duke students revealed was sobering.
About 45% of our students reported that they had engaged in unauthorized collaboration, and almost 40% of them had said that they had copied some sentences without footnoting.
Duke is not alone. The man who carried out the survey, Donald McCabe, professor of management and global business at Rutgers in New Jersey, says Duke's results simply mirror his national findings.
You get about 40% of the students acknowledge that they've engaged in at least one or more instances of cut-and-paste plagiarism from the internet, and similar numbers from written sources as well. Also, when you do surveys at the university level, you get a large non-response. In other words, typically, depending on how I'm doing a survey and the campus I'm doing it on, I might only get responses from 10 to 40 to 50% of the student body. It appears that the portion that's not responding, one of the reasons they're not responding is because they're cheating more often and don't want to admit it. So those numbers probably understate what's actually going on.
Since that academic dishonesty survey was taken 5 years ago, reported cases of plagiarism at Duke have doubled. When students are caught cheating, they're referred to Stephen Bryan, Associate Dean of Judicial Affairs. He asks them why they did it, and they tell him about the cutthroat competition to get into the best graduate and professional schools.
They're not simply happy with a C or a B-minus or even a B-plus. They want A's. I think sometimes that really clouds their judgment, particularly at 4 o'clock in the morning when they're working on a paper, and then they just take a shortcut.
My first semester sophomore year, I had a real heavy class load, 5.5 classes. And I had 3 papers due that were all 15 to 20 pages within the span of about a week and a half. I just didn't cite a couple sentences, actually, that I had used. I didn't cite it properly. And so I got in some trouble for that. I was suspended for a semester. That's about it.
Nationally, this kind of cut-and-paste plagiarism that John, a senior from Colorado, engaged in is more common among men than women, and among business and engineering students than others. And while high school students do it a lot more, students at small colleges do it less. Nevertheless, it's still a temptation. It's not that hard to do.
So what I did, I went to a site online. I found it through Google.
Dave is a junior studying English literature at Davis and Elkins, a Presbyterian liberal arts college in Elkins, West Virginia.
And I just typed in the author's name, and I typed in the title of the book, and searched for it. One of the first. In a faith and literature class last spring, I had a final paper to do on Brighton Rock by Graham Greene, and I plagiarized on it because I was under immense amount of pressure from all my professors and particularly my parents, because they've always wanted me to live up to all their expectations, I guess. I'd always been the one at the top of my class. People looked to me to actually do well in everything that I do. Logistically speaking, it was really a stupid thing to do because I just found a couple critiques of certain themes and I chose one of those, and it was an easy way out for once, I guess.
This looks like it, huh?
It looks like it, yes. At first, I thought it would just like take like bits and pieces of it and like trying to develop it on my own, just get some ideas started. But eventually, I just let it give way to pure plagiarism, I guess.
Many students get by with it, of course. But in this case, English professor Robert McCutcheon, who incidentally has degrees from Duke, Oxford and Stanford universities, was suspicious when he saw Dave's paper.
His writing style is a little bit academic to start with, and I'm trying to make it a little more natural. But he turned in a paper that had a kind of a British academic ring. It was just a matter of Googling the paper, typing in one phrase, which called up a website. Just about everything in the paper was also on the website, so it was easy to track down. I knew the student well enough that I could just call him immediately.
He just told me really calmly that he needed to talk to me about my final paper. I called him back and he told me.
Just came over to my office immediately, just right from his dorm room. And we sat down, talked about it. He admitted what he had done, and we talked a little bit about the circumstances.
Outraged or enraged or anything like that.
When we talked earlier, you cited parental pressure would be correct, but it just it sounded to me like pressure you'd put on yourself.
Yeah.
I guess the last thing they would want would be for you to plagiarize. Have you told them about this experience?
Yeah, I discussed it with them. I kind of delayed it a couple days. I mean, they were disappointed, yeah, but...
Because obviously you didn't have to. I mean, you and I had worked things out. Yeah. And then I guess another thing I'd be curious, looking back on it, I mean, you probably had read the novel, hadn't you?
I read all the reading I did, and...
Mm-hmm. And did you feel you understood the novel pretty well? I mean, could you have written a paper about it? Because I bet you could have.
Yeah, I definitely could have. I thought he dealt with it really soundly and really sensitively. To the extent that he didn't let it jeopardize my credibility, like, outside of class. I think he had to report to the college board. He didn't fail me for the class. He just gave me an incomplete for the time being. And he assigned a longer paper. I wrote that over the summer. It was all my own work, and he assessed it on that.
For his second paper, original and well-cited, Dave received an A. In addition to dealing with students who've cheated, many colleges and universities say it's more important to minimize academic dishonesty before it happens. Research suggests that honor codes and an emphasis on academic integrity do make a difference. In the last 2 years, Duke University has revised its honor code, or community standard as they call it, rewritten their plagiarism policy, and tried to promote a culture of academic integrity on campus. It's an uphill struggle.
Honor. People refuse to turn in their friends or return in anybody they see cheating, and that kind of defeats the whole purpose of the community standard sometimes.
Yeah, well, the big problem is that people make blanket statements about the community standard without actually understanding what it is. A lot of people have a doubt that having an honor code is even a good thing, and that's something we can address at this panel, because that's kind of important.
Leading the way among students is Duke's Honor Council. Its new chairman is sophomore Jimmy Soni.
The Honor Council is the group on campus that tries to promote a climate of integrity and ethics, leading a discussion on ethics, leading discourse on ethics. And I think that by promoting ethics and integrity, what you do is you renew the zest for learning. I know that we're fighting an ever-present battle against people that say, well, I'm paying $160,000 to be here, I'm entitled to good grades, I'll do whatever it takes to get them. That kind of mentality is so dangerous, and it's so prevalent at Duke, and it's part of what the Honor Council's fighting, because that's the kind of mentality that leads you to cut corners.
Duke faculty and staff are also part of the effort to change the consumer, get away with whatever you can mentality. Judith Ruderman teaches a graduate seminar on the works of D.H. Lawrence.
So I am going to talk to you about some tips for avoiding plagiarism, but I want to set it in the right context. It's not just that I don't want you to come before the judicial board, because I like all of you, and I want you to go through Duke and Chapel Hill with satisfactory progress. It's much more than that. It's that I want you to recognize that integrity is as important for me to talk to you about and to teach, as it were, as D.H. Lawrence, because most of you are going to forget everything about D.H. Lawrence. Maybe some of you. A few. Maybe one of you. Go ahead, Jen.
Plus, there's always going to be that student who says, you know, I can get around these rules. These rules don't really apply to me. I'm good at evading the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, go ahead, Lizzie.
And you don't want to teach students just not to plagiarize while they're at Duke, because if you plagiarize in the real world, it's a lot more dangerous.
And that's why I'm talking to you.
On my syllabus, I put our Duke Honor Code. But more than that, I have a paragraph about the importance of academic integrity. And I state not only that I expect the students' work to be their own, but that I expect my work to be my own. And when I talk about literary criticism or refer to other critics, that I will mention them by name. And throughout the semester, I give them examples of plagiarism that I've encountered in my own career.
And so tell me if I have already told you about the time that I discovered inadvertently that somebody had plagiarized my work.
No.
Okay, well, I want to tell you about this and to tell you how it made me feel. I felt as if somebody had gone into my drawers, my underwear drawers, and put their hands all over my garments that they had taken money from my wallet. That's how I felt. I don't ever want you to do that to anybody else, nor do I want anybody to do that to you. I don't call that furthering the intellectual conversation. I call it trading on other people's work.
To make it even more difficult to plagiarize, political philosophy professor Elizabeth Kiesch assigns unique paper topics each term. But she says it's tough to fight the notion that anything on the World Wide Web is simply there for the taking.
I think that there's a sense in this generation of young people that the internet is this global kind of commons, which is true, but that doesn't mean that you don't need to cite your sources. In a sense, good citation practices complement and help to build, hopefully, good research practices.
To help students build good writing and research practices and avoid unintentional plagiarism, many universities have introduced workshops where students can get individual help on their papers.
So what's the paper that you're writing?
At Duke, it's called the Writing Studio.
Final paper for my women's studies course. The question was to address freedom and justice in new reproductive technologies.
Usually with longer papers like this, we try to have conversations that are a little bit more meta, discussing things about, you know, how you're incorporating the use of your sources into the paper.
These personal tutorials are proving helpful.
That sounds good to me.
But research shows that when students are asked to write papers outside their major subject, they're more likely to plagiarize. This is exactly what happened in 2001 at possibly the best public university in the United States, founded by Thomas Jefferson 180 years ago.
Now, the honor code at the University of Virginia is almost as old as the school itself. And if it's broken, the penalty is severe. Recently, 48 students learned that firsthand. They have been kicked out of school after participating in the biggest plagiarism scandal UVA has ever seen.
My name is Lou Bloomfield. I'm professor of physics at the University of Virginia. I teach a large class, an introductory physics class to non-scientists. And I have about 500 students every semester. And so we operated much of the homework assignment exchange via the web. And one of the projects that students are asked to do is to write a term paper, a five-page paper on how something works, since the course itself is called How Things Work. And a student came to me at the end of the semester, having received her term paper back and having been disappointed with her grade. She came to me to let me know that some of the people she knew had received higher grades than her for papers they hadn't written themselves, but had simply recycled from previous semesters. So to find any problems, I had to write a computer program to sift through these papers, treat them essentially the way I treat data. I had lots of papers, try to find a pattern match. So I wrote a program to do this, and surprise, I found a lot.
Indeed, there were striking similarities in 122 papers. Eventually, 48 students were either found guilty or admitted they were guilty of plagiarism and left the university, never able to return. Not many schools have as harsh a punishment, but thousands are now using technology to detect and hopefully prevent plagiarism. In seconds, these online detection services can tell a teacher or faculty member if a paper has any plagiarized sentences and exactly where they came from, whether it's a website, a book, a journal, someone else's paper, or an essay mill. Many say it's bringing back a level playing field for honest students.
First, we're going to go to the website. Generally, it takes about 15 minutes to introduce an instructor to turn it in. And we will actually turn in an article that one of her students has produced and see what the results are.
At the University of San Francisco, a private Jesuit Catholic school with 8,000 students, technology trainer Jenny Wallace is showing history professor Nina Bakasian how to use Turnitin.com, the world's largest plagiarism detection service. Dr. Bakasian suspects that a paper from her European history class is largely plagiarized.
And let's click the submit button. Right now, the paper is being uploaded to Turnitin.com. Depending on how many other papers are being uploaded right now, it will take anywhere from 30 seconds to 5 minutes.
Through the internet, over the Bay Bridge in Oakland, the paper makes its way to Turnitin.com's server room. About the size of your average kitchen, it's got 12 towers of computers stacked to the ceiling. Turnitin CEO John Barry.
This is where we receive all of the papers submitted to Turnitin. Over 40,000 student papers per day. And what you see here is storage of more than 6 billion pages from the internet. These computers right here are constantly copying the internet at about a rate of 40 million pages per day. Now, as a student submits their paper to these computers over here, those student papers are compared to this copy of the internet. It's compared to papers that we've licensed from other publishers, journals, and books going back the last 5 years. Now, these are things you typically find in your library, not on the internet. And then every student paper is also compared to every other student paper ever submitted to us from day one. That taken together is something that's never existed before on the face of this earth, and that is the ultimate deterrent to cheating. Because the student understands that if they take anything from the internet, or if they take anything from, you know, some book or some journal in their library, or if they take anything from another student paper, they're going to be detected by this system.
Back at the University of San Francisco, Jenny and Nina get the results. Inbox.
Okay, what do you see?
It looks like green.
Green. And green is low. Without opening it, I would assume there are probably one or two websites that have been listed as resources that are also popping up because they're inside the document. But let's go ahead and look. Click the paper. There was one website that was found, and it looks, it's telling us there was 3% of the document matched that. What's interesting is they're single lines and they are within quotes, so it's exactly what you want to see. This is a great example of someone who has cited their sources and put quotes accurately.
Does Turnitin allow for papers bought in essay mills or not?
Yes. In fact, it'll name the paper mill. It'll show you the exact paper that it is a replica of.
Downloaded free or purchased papers from essay mills or cheat sites are fairly common at the high school level. But only about 1 in 20 plagiarism cases at the college level involve them. Nevertheless,
everybody cheats, you know, I should get over it is one comment that I've heard from students.
Donald McCabe, who spent 15 years doing research into academic dishonesty and indeed co-founded the Center for Academic Integrity at Duke, has pondered why cheating and plagiarism are so common, so acceptable to millions of students from elementary to graduate school. What does it say about us as a society in the 21st century? Well, the students usually point the finger at adults, from parents who cheat on their taxes, to elected officials, to business tycoons, journalists, even revered academics.
I'm always intrigued by the students, and there's large numbers of them, who question why I even bother to do this work. You know, a typical comment might be, you know, with all the other issues that are out there, why are you wasting your time on something as trivial as cheating? You know, and they'll talk about Enron, they'll talk about President Clinton, they'll talk about Donald Trump, you know, who's ever in the news currently. I've had business students tell me that they're simply acquiring a skill they'll need to be successful later in life.
All of that can lead to a kind of bottom line mentality where getting into school, getting the grade, getting into graduate school, getting into professional school may seem like it's worth cutting some corners.
Duke Professor Elizabeth Kiesch.
And I think we really have a challenge in American higher education today to change the message in some ways. I don't know if we're going to be able to make colleges less competitive, but that we need to change the message to saying, you know, we want smart students, we want honorable students.
And UVA professor Lou Bloomfield agrees.
I wish that we as a society would focus more on education for its own sake, education as education, as opposed to a path to credentialing, just developing a resume. At the end of the day, what really matters is what's between your ears, not what's on a sheet of paper.
That's a message that Michael aspired to. During the 3 semesters he was suspended from Duke, he tried to learn from his mistakes.
I used that time to do some soul searching, spent a lot of time in some counseling, some therapy, and then eventually returned to Duke, at which point I was taking 2 classes that summer, and my final paper for one of my classes, I'd already written a rough draft, non-plagiarized, and at the last minute, I copied something off the internet and was caught again.
At that point, Michael decided to take a leave of absence. During his year away, he sought further psychological and psychiatric help to try to understand why he was cheating when he could get good grades doing all his own work.
I have always had this feeling that I am going to fail. I'm haunted by this feeling. And I worked on myself. I rebuilt myself in that year that I spent off and came back to Duke with some new vigor, some promises to myself that nothing like this would ever happen again. I made it through 2.5 semesters without a problem. And this semester, when I was supposed to graduate, I had another issue. And I'm dealing with it right now.
This time, Michael may face expulsion from the university.
I'm most likely going to be expelled, which, according to the Duke laws, I deserve to be. I have been on this mission to struggle, to make my life difficult for myself, and this is obviously evident in my blatant copying. And they know it here. I mean, it was no surprise that this third issue has arisen, and I've mentioned that the fact is, I could probably be given 100 chances, and I could not promise that 101st time it wouldn't happen. It doesn't look like I'm going to graduate. I'll be one credit short. If I had not committed this, I would be graduating. I'm a sad story, you know what I mean?
Cut and Paste was produced by Gene Snedegar. The editor was Aileen Ellis. The show was mixed by Jared Weisbrot. This program originally aired as part of our series on education and technology, produced with support from the U.S. Department of Education. We have lots more programs in that series, by the way, and you can listen to them all again on our website, soundprint.org. You'll also find links there to all sorts of related information. The address again is soundprint.org. Soundprint is produced by the Soundprint Media Center in association with WAMU and American University. On the next Soundprint, the upsides and downsides of medical tourism.
If a patient comes here and after going back develops a complication and their local physician refuses to see them for the fact that they've gone out of the country to have the surgery, that could become an issue for our patients.
Live at the Apollo, next week on Soundprint. Soundprint episodes are available on CD for a small fee. Give us a call at 1-888-38-TAPES and we'll send you your favorite episodes. That number again is 1-888-38-TAPES, or you can order online at soundprint.org. Let us know how we're doing. We appreciate your comments. You can get in touch with us by email at talkback@soundprint.org. Soundprint is production assistant Nkechi Mogekwu and audio engineer Jared Weisbrot. Our executive producer is Moira Rankin. I'm Lisa Simeone.